Thanks, Jerry.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. It's okay to go, is it? I'd just like to share a short reflection on what Lent means for me, and hopefully it might mean something similar for all of you. Can you hear me? You can. Lent for me started earlier this year. In fact, it started about 6 weeks ago at my mother's funeral. I had buried, by taking my father's funeral some 30 years ago, and my mother had asked me to take her funeral. It wasn't an easy experience, as you can imagine, but I did the best I could. And I have very many memories from that particular occasion. Part of the sadness of it all was meeting people I hadn't seen for a very long time, in some cases, decades, and almost certainly will never see again. But one comment certainly made me think a little bit more. It was while I was standing at the graveside. My brother was beside me, and he whispered in my ear, "You're next." I wasn't sure how to react to a comment like that in the circumstances. I thought it might have been some comment that Eamon made because he was often in the habit of making comments to sort of reduce the seriousness of an occasion. But when I looked at him out of the corner of my eye, he wasn't smiling. He was actually tearful. Well, I've thought long about that after that comment afterwards, and I think he could have made that about anybody, told everybody present, "You're on next." I was just hoping that he didn't know something about me that I didn't know. But being the eldest in the family, he was probably right. I am next. But then everybody's next. As the saying has it, tomorrow isn't promised to anyone. And why do I mention this? I mention it because for me, Lent is about two things. It is about facing up to our own mortality, and it's also about trying to get to know God better. And in the process, getting to know ourselves better. It's the only time in the liturgical year when we are invited to take time off, to find time, or to make time, to reflect seriously on our mortality. And that's not in any kind of morbid sense, but in a very realistic sense. And it starts with Ash Wednesday. I think Pat mentioned yesterday that Holy Thursday was a very important day for her, one of her favorite days in Lent. But I think for me, Ash Wednesday is my day in Lent. It's a day like no other in the year. There's something quite unique about it. On Ash Wednesday, we have our foreheads marked with ashes in the sign of a cross. We, the living, come together, usually in a church, to name the fact of death. I can't think of anything more countercultural and more sad. This black mark of death rests on each forehead, young and old. Rich and poor, strong and the weak, the sick and the well, even newborn babies. We carry on our body a recollection, a proclamation that we and everyone we love in life will die. The church has long said that confronting death without denial or distraction is a necessary part of living truthfully. Daniel Berrigan says that our lives, our whole lives, are a preparation for death. And he describes death as a religious experience of the highest order. And this truth, like all truth, teaches us how to live. In the Rule of Saint Benedict, Benedict urged his monks, day by day, remind yourself that you are going to die. Hour by hour, keep careful watch over all you do, aware that God's gaze is upon you, wherever you may be. Benedict clearly understood that recalling death changes us. Speaking the truth about mortality out loud as we do on Ash Wednesday somehow feels a bit transgressive. In the midst of the busyness of our lives, the triviality that occupies so much of our time, and the unreality of the social media in our lives, we are abruptly given a reality check. It certainly is a unique day. Anyway, enough about mortality. The other thing Lent invites us to do is to get to know God better through his son Jesus by means of prayer. But what does that mean? What does it look like? Well, it's definitely not the same as knowing about God. Rather, it has to do with an experience of God. There have been countless books and articles written down the centuries telling us what we might know about God. But what about knowing God instead of knowing about God? Anyone can write a book about God. Even atheists do, and write some very good ones. You don't have to personally know someone to be able to write about them. I've just finished reading an excellent book on the life of St. Augustine. Absolutely brilliant book. In fact, reading it, I felt I was most of the time living in 5th century Milan with Augustine and Ambrose, the bishop. Was so much detail in it, so much of an understanding of life, of religion, and all the bits and pieces of religion. And wait for it. The book is written by a professed atheist. So it's no secret that a person, knowing a person, is essentially different from knowing about a person. It suggests an intimacy that goes beyond factual detail. It suggests something much deeper, something more dependable, more trusting, something of real substance. So maybe there is one more question we might usefully ponder in these remaining weeks of Lent. Have we at some stage in the past year touched on something of the reality of God in our lives or in the lives of others? Think for a moment of the countless acts of selfless caring, the goodness of family members and friends. Think about human courage and persistence when people are beset by problems and difficulties. In so many different ways, their actions have been examples of the presence of the unseen God. I mentioned the importance of knowing a person, but perhaps before we get to know other people, we need to know ourselves a bit better. And Lent is a good time for getting to know ourselves better. More than at any other time of the year, as I said earlier, we're challenged to look closely at ourselves and to ask some important questions. Questions like, What sort of person am I? What am I here for? Are my views and values in life? What do I really believe? And Lent is a good time for coming up with answers and solutions to questions and problems. Traditionally, Lent has often been a time for giving up something, a little bit of penitence, anything from chocolate to drink. As a child, I always hated the season. It was that seemingly endless stretch of time when I wasn't allowed to eat the chocolate I'd been told to keep for Easter. And the only respite was St. Patrick's Day, when we were allowed to eat as much as we wanted, and life seemed to return to normal, at least for a day, and was worth living again. But then, how about instead of giving up something, doing something practical, something useful, like making time for prayerful reflection in the course of each day? I think that's something we could all agree on. Did you know that there are 1,440 minutes in each day? And if you were just to spend 1% of that time in prayer, it would amount to 14 minutes and 24 seconds. Take my word for it. I got a mathematician to check it. Just imagine giving 14 minutes of your day to God. What a difference that could make to your life. My mobile phone informs me every week on how much time I'm spending looking at it every day. It's either up 10% or down 12%. But I noticed that it averages around 1 hour, 35 minutes a day, which I think is scandalous. I spend 1 hour, 35 minutes a day looking at my phone. I'd have to say, and I will say it because it is Lent, and I'm ashamed to say it, that's rather more time than I spend in prayer. Or think about this. Who recovers from a physical injury faster? Someone who normally exercises or someone who doesn't take any exercise? The same applies to our spiritual life. A deeper, prayerful connection with God won't make any of our problems go away, but it will help us to navigate our way through life in a more effective way. All of us experience times of sorrow, struggle in life, be it the death of a loved one, serious illness, financial problems, anxiety or depression. Such difficulties don't disappear when we pray. But if our soul is fit, we will have the strength to face these challenges in a more courageous way. And if injuries do occur while we are on our spiritual path, we'll be able to recover that much faster. That's why what I call soul sustenance is so important. However, I must confess to a problem here. Too much of my prayer and my prayer life seems self-centered, even when I'm praying for others. I'm always finding myself asking for this or that favor, help with this or that particular project or piece of work. My prayer life all too often takes too little notice of problems outside of myself. For example, the state of the world, the horror of Gaza, Ukraine, Sudan, and countless other troubled areas of the world, where life for so many people is a living daily hell. I call it God's nightmare. I now find that I have difficulty watching the evening news. I force myself to watch it sometimes, all the time thinking of the healthy, comfortable, and very safe lifestyle I enjoy. And I honestly don't know how to deal with all of this. Wasn't it the poet T.S. Eliot who famously said that humankind cannot bear too much reality? But pray we must, even if it is only a means to keep us safe in our murderous world. But prayer is more than that. Prayer is communicating with God, and we should never stop talking to Him. In addition to prayer, I would add the need to change, to make a fresh start in so many areas of life. I think this aspiration to change is of fundamental importance in our lives. We should always be wanting to change, to be better people. I've been recently writing an article on Thomas Merton, and one of the comments I came across, which I hadn't seen before, was where he said, "I'm constantly changing. I don't know who I'll be tomorrow, but I'll be different from the person I was yesterday. And I don't care whether people like it or not," he said. "I'll not be here to find out what they think," which was a nice way of putting it. He couldn't have cared less. But we are changing, and maybe that's important for us to change. He talked about the center in each person. There's a center in each one of us which can never be damaged. But he says we always need to look at that center from somewhere else. And that's what he meant by change, looking at it from another angle, from another space, from another place. And maybe that is what Lent is about, having that desire for change, of not being content with standing still, always looking for the opportunity to move on, being willing to take the risk of treading on new ground, even if the signposting isn't always that clear. The famous German theologian Karl Rahner, who died back in 1984, is often remembered for his words about the Christian experience. He said famously, "In the days ahead, you will either be a mystic," which he described as one who has experienced God for real, "or nothing at all." On another occasion, he said, and this mirrors what I mentioned earlier, "Knowing God is more important than knowing about God." And again, in saying that, he was also echoing what an earlier theologian, the great St. Thomas Aquinas, said, who at the end of his life is reputed to have said that all his wonderful writings were as nothing compared with simply knowing God. Let's just think for a moment about that. In the days ahead, we will either be mystics or nothing at all. I must say I've never thought of myself as a mystic, but then as the New Testament calls all the followers of Jesus saints, so in a sense, we are all saints and mystics. The mystic is someone who looks forward to each new day as a new beginning, a different adventure, something to be explored and celebrated. It is easy, as I said earlier, to talk about God, much more difficult, but infinitely more rewarding, to experience Him in the wor at work in our lives and in the lives of the people we live with and work with and share our lives with. Because each day is God's gift to us. So that's what Lent is about for me, trying to find God in the ordinary, everyday, mundane experiences of life. Rahner was right. We are either mystics, saints, or nothing at all. Lent, to conclude, is our annual spring cleaning of the soul. It's the time when we recharge our spiritual batteries. Ash Wednesday, with its theme of mortality, reminds us of the shortness of life, how precious it is, and how tenuous is our hold on it. So let us make the most of each day God gives. Live it to the full and fill it with every blessing. Because, as my brother said, you're next.